When I was at the supermarket the other day to pick up a few items, the supermarket is part of a national chain with stores all over Ohio. I noticed something strange about my fellow shoppers. They were scanning each item with their phones to check that the price was the same as the one marked on the shelf. I did some research when I got home, and it turns out several national supermarket chains were not updating the price on the shelf for every change in the scanned price of their products. Posted prices can be as much as several weeks out of date, with shoppers paying significantly more for your groceries than if the posted prices on the shelves were correct. When I saw our Old Testament reading from the book of Amos this Sunday, I was struck by the lines, "We will make the ephah, or bushel, small, and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances." Especially as I read another news article about another grocery store's scales were giving false readings when weighing produce. My fellow shoppers knew this. They were protecting themselves against paying more than the posted price. In our lesson from Amos, he was delivering this message from God to the people of the city of Bethel in the northern kingdom of Israel about 300 years before the time of Christ. Bethel means house of God. It is where Abraham had made sacrifices to God. It is where Jacob had his dream of the stairway or ladder with angels descending from and ascending to heaven. The Ark of the Covenant was kept for a time at the temple in Bethel before being returned to the temple in Jerusalem. Bethel was an important center of worship and commerce. The northern kingdom, ruled by King Jeroboam, had won territory and riches in wars with the neighboring kingdoms. There were many wealthy and influential people in the kingdom of Israel. Unfortunately, these same wealthy people were using their power and influence to enrich themselves at the expense of their fellows. Rather than being generous with their workers, they robbed them. Rather than setting prices fairly, they made their bushel baskets smaller, yet charged more for them in the marketplaces. Their money, the shekel, was strong, yet this did not benefit the working people and the poor. Amos blames King Jeroboam for these abuses against the working people of his kingdom, because if the king turns a blind eye to these abuses or even benefits from them, he is guilty according to the law of God and man. Amos is my favorite prophet of the Old Testament. He is the prophet of working people, a herder and a dresser or cultivator of the sycamore fig tree. The sycamore fig was an important source of food for the poorer rural people in the Middle East. In order that the fig should ripen to produce the best fruit, it was necessary to cut each fig at the right time to cause the figs to fully ripen several weeks later. When I was assigned to preach to you this morning, I read this passage from Amos, and I knew I was being called to preach about fairness. This has been a difficult sermon to write and to deliver. The difficulty is not about the problem. Our society today seems more unfair, more unforgiving, more frankly scary than ever before. We are worried about every aspect of our lives. Our work, our children, our parents. Our media institutions that deliver information to us know that if they can make us uneasy, scare us, then we pay more attention to them. Anyone who wants to raise money, even for the best of causes, has to first get our attention by an appeal to our pity or our fears. It is exhausting to be approached in this way until we become apathetic and numb to further appeals on our time and our treasure, and most importantly, on our limited attention. This Sunday morning, the last thing I want to do is to add to anyone's worries or fears. I would rather talk about hope. I am not endorsing any solutions to the problems of fairness or justice in our society, but I am bold to make this claim from the book of Amos. God will punish the dishonest, the unjust, those people who knowingly practice deceit and do not repent. We, as the people of God, through all the disinformation and our own emotional exhaustion, must rely on God's grace to remind us of who we are. We are the people of the kingdom of God. We need to hold fast to one another and not let all the bad information out there cause us to turn against one another. We are charged as Christians to love each other as we love ourselves. And as part of that Christian love, to forgive each other, as we accept the forgiveness God extends to all of us. In our Amos passage, the people of the northern kingdom of Israel had a king. So the people suffering from injustice had no recourse but to wait for God's punishment to bring them justice. How should we, as God's people, bring about change in our communities? All I'm going to say is that we, as God's people, need to be as involved in our communities as we are moved by the Spirit to address the basic unfairness and injustice we see around us. Who will change things for the better if we do not? In becoming involved in our local community, we must let the Holy Spirit guide us to be open and engage with everyone. To listen, to heal, to affirm, to be positive, to demonstrate by our example the fruits of the Spirit to everyone around us. Amos encourages us with the hope that eventually, in the kingdom of God, justice flows like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream. I believe that we can help address these issues of fairness and injustice. I believe we can care for each other, but we always need to be listening and to be guided by that quiet voice of God.